I certainly enjoy the wonderful picture that the Brother Cleveland just showed us. And we get a view of the Lord from different perspectives. I know that my voice doesn't carry like some people, my father's voice. Like, I didn't inherit that part of him. So I'll try to speak loud enough where you can hear. And I realize it's a hot afternoon. Brother Hewlin says, we got no place to go, so take your time. So I have authorization. But if the Lord doesn't come a little while, I know how to sit down. I know when the Lord is blessing and I know when He's not blessing. So if the Lord would see fit for us a little while, I trust that you'll be in prayer for the remainder of the service and services tonight. So I do solicit your prayers in all sincerity, and I solicit your sincere prayers in all sincerity. I appreciate the wonderful hospitality that's been given to us while we've been at the camp meeting. It's the highlight of our summer also. My wife and I talk about it through the year, looking forward to the camp meeting. Go away rejoicing and thanking the Lord that He's permitted me to sit in a heavenly place, be with God's people. And this within itself is far more than I'm worthy of, but we don't want to speak of what we're worthy of. Be like a man asked me one time, he said, how you doing? I said, how you been? I said, very well. Said, Lord's been better to me than I'm worthy of. He said, well, it could be a lot worse and be better than that. So that's true. The Lord's been good to us. God has been good to Israel. We're here to thank Him and rejoice in His truth and to learn. I trust to be edified and to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate the wonderful godly hospitality that's been shown us while we've been among you. I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you in such a great name as our Father. I have some additions to put to that out of the Scripture. That's what the preaching does to us. And I trust that it happens to the ministry. It happens to all of us. That it stirs up our pure minds by way of remembrance. But I do hope that you'll pray that the Lord see fit to bless us for a few moments. That which seems to be up on our minds. Now, I will comment. It's good to be back in the Texas air. I tell them in Louisiana, I'm always picking at them about how much better it is over in Texas. Because, this is my home. I said, the air even smells better over there. It's even fresher over there. I'm always aggravating them about Texas. But I will confess that one of the keys to understanding the Word of God is to understand total depravity. Now, if you don't understand total depravity, there's a lot. Well, it's going to be confusing from that time on. One brother David said that he had only been in Texas. This is the only second time. My friends, I know what depravity is now. He is double depraved by not having the opportunity to be in Texas. So I'm not here to preach about Texas. I'm just thankful to be here. I do solicit your prayers what time I stand before you. And I'll try to speak loud enough where you can hear me. I'll start off my subject by saying this. I worked with a young man one time that was a master artist. He could draw anything to perfection. Master artist, young man. I told him, I said, the only thing I've ever been able to draw was flies. And it kind of scratched his head a minute, and it dawned on him what I said. I've never been able to draw anything. That's something, an artist I've never been. I'm kind of like the comedian. Everything I start to make turns out to be an ashtray. I never could draw. But in your minds for a few moments, you can see the setting behind us, very, very beautiful, very peaceful setting behind us. Remove a few of these trees, and in your mind for a moment, if I drew a picture of a background as such, and then I put a picture of the sun. The sun's about yay high, we say 2 o'clock. And then I erased that picture, and I showed you a picture of, I drew a picture of a man on a horse. Here's the sun, a man beside a horse. Here's the sun about 3 o'clock. And then I erased that picture, and I drew another picture, and the man's on the horse, and the sun's about 4 o'clock. And I erased that one and drew you another picture, and the man's riding. You can see the man going away, and the sun's almost setting. In your understanding, in your vision, without a word in there, you can understand that there's a man got on a horse and rode off into the sunset. That's pictorial language. That's what I'd like to talk about for a few moments. I want to read to you some verses of Scripture found in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. You all know the setting. Apostle Paul is upon Mars Hill, and 17th chapter of the book of Acts says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." As certain of your own poets have said, "For we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Now, the sermons we've already heard today, beautiful sermon we just heard, you know who that one man is. What I would like to do for a few moments, speak about God's declaration. In essence, that's what Elder Bass just preached to us. God's declaration. I remember that the psalmist David said, and this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Have you noticed in recent years, just the recent years, you buy a new car, it's got a little switch over here, and it doesn't have any words on it, it just has a picture of a windshield and blades. One picture's got the blade here, and the blade... Anybody, don't have to be able to read English, you understand that that's the button that works the windshield wipers. Or It's got a button over here that's got a picture of a light on it. You don't have to be able to read English to understand that that's the switch that turns on the lights. You go to the street corner now, and used to when I was growing up, you go to the street corner and you waited for the sign to say walk. He doesn't say that anymore. It's got a picture of a man walking across the street. And if it's dangerous and it's not right to walk across the street, have the picture of a man's hand. You don't have to be able to read English. You understand that that means to wait. That's pictorial language. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day it utters speech. Night into night showeth knowledge. And there's no speech nor language where His voice is not heard. You understand what He's saying there is? God has declared Himself and all of His creation. God's handiwork declares who He is. It declares who God, what kind of a God He is, the characteristics of God. Now, in my occupation, the occupation that I have, I'm sure it is with your occupation too, I get to notice in other people that have the same occupation. And I can tell a little bit by this individual. I can tell a little bit by this individual's character by observing some of his work. I can look at this individual's work and tell something about the individual. And I can imagine what a real artist or a painter can do. And he sees a painting that catches his eye or some artwork that catches his eye. And he began to study, if it was really appealing to him, he began to study this artist. He would learn something about, I promise you, one artist can tell something about the other artist's character by his work. That's what God's Word is telling us. You can tell God by His handiwork. Day unto day it utters speech. Night unto night it showeth knowledge. They can say what they want. They scoffers can say what they will. But my friends, those stars are not up there by an accident. In fact, they have never been numbered. They cannot be numbered. But did you know that the God of glory says He has a name for every star in heaven? I ask you, my friends, do you know of anyone other than the God of glory that could make a star? Do you know of anyone that could make an earth that we like the habitat that we live on? Do you know of anyone other than God that could create this habitat that we live on in the perfect order in which it works? Do you know of anyone other than God? My proclamation is, and this was my subject in last Sunday, and I'm not here to preach that subject, but I use this for a text, one of the first times I ever used it, the best known scripture in all the United States, I would imagine in all the world, is for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said the key to understanding that, as well as any other scripture in the Bible, is first get the right concept of God Almighty. Once you get the right concept of God, my friends, a lot of it will come into perspective. God hath declared Himself in all of His creation. I'm talking about His natural creation. Day and today, it sings His glory. The prophet Isaiah speaks about the hills and the mountain singing the praise, and the trees clapping their hands. It all gives praise to God, and it all acknowledges a supreme, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, almighty God, that all-wise God. It declares Him in all of His work. Every which direction we look, God's signature is on this habitat that we live on. Everywhere we look, when you see life come into the world, He giveth to all life and breath. You know, isn't it amazing how that theology today has things in reverse? They have God needing our help. Can you imagine? Could you read that in the Word of God? That this God, this omnipotent, almighty God, could stand in need as if He needed anything. He said in the psalmist David, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You think that's all He owns? Do you really think that's all He owns, just 1,000 hills of cattle? That's a particular number for an imparticular number. That's not all He owns, my friends. He owns the cattle on every hill. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For all the world is mine. The fullness of the world is mine. Does that sound like a God that needs any help? I don't believe God needs any help. I believe all of His declaration declares that He needs no help. And yet man by nature, how dull of hearing he is. In fact, I would go so far as to say this, that even in the natural realm, mankind, by nature, mankind is turned over to a reprobate mind when they do not even acknowledge God as Creator. You know what happens when we're turned over to a reprobate mind? We eat human beings. We go naked, we eat human beings and every abominable thing in the world. We give all credit for the being of all things to an accident. They call it, used to call it evolution, now it's evolution. That's what happens when we're turned over to a reprobate mind. When we'll declare that it is right for two people to be together of the same gender, my friends, that is turned over to a reprobate mind. And what we should notice out of this, that the judgment of God comes down on the natural creation as well, my friends. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He didn't say it was or shall be, it is. Now, this specific reading that we read in your hearing, the Apostle Paul, speaking about his experience of going up on Mars Hill. He said, I saw all of your devotions, all of your gods, and I noticed this particular one to the unknown God. Paul says, this unknown God, I'm going to declare unto you. He's not worshipped with man's hands. He's not in need of anything. He gives to all life and breath. He stands in need of nothing. But this is something I want you to notice. That he speaks about God's past declaration to our forefathers, and how that they worshipped images of gold and of silver. And it says, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at. Now, He wasn't winking at them because He thought it was cute, like we do at a child. You know how you wink at a child? I get tickled at some of these children when they try to wink back before they learn to wink. God wasn't winking at that because He thought it was cute. He's thinking, oh, what do I have to do again? It means He closed His eyes to. What do I have to do for them to know that I am God, that I am one watching over them? Can you imagine what it was like when Israel demanded them a king? God told Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. See, God had been their king, their guide, their stay, their director, their leader. Time and time and time again, God has declared Himself to mankind. But He says, now He commandeth every man everywhere to repent. Why? And here's the heart of the subject. God commandeth every man everywhere to repent. Why? Because I read over in the first chapter of John where it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. This, the writer of the Hebrew letter says, for in sundry times and in divers manners God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us in, by, or through His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Now we see a different declaration of God. Somebody says, well, the only way we can see God in natural creation is by faith. No. All of creation can be seen by anyone that has a vision that can see the perfect order of natural creation. They can see that it took a majesty. It took wisdom to set things in order, and they work just like they do. My friend, it declares wisdom. But through faith we understand it. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We know where it came from. Now this declaration that we read about in John chapter 1, the only begotten Son that is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now, if we want to know something about God the Father, all we have to do is take an examination of the Son of God. I take an examination of Jesus Christ. Because what He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And then He told us what that will was. Of all that He has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. A boy works for me. I asked him, I said, do you believe that God loves everybody? He says, oh, absolutely. It doesn't matter what race, what creed, what gender, it doesn't matter. I said, well, you know, I want you to explain this verse of Scripture to me. It says that God, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all that He has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, is that everybody? I said, do you believe there's a hell? Oh, yeah, absolutely. You see, if you're going to make a universalist out of it, you cannot believe or teach universalism and believe that there is a place called hell. It won't work. They won't harmonize with the Scripture. Because I understand that the Apostle Paul, I'm persuaded, as the Apostle Paul said, he said, I am persuaded that neither death... You see, if you could only get these two verses of Scripture, if you could only get these two verses of Scripture, those to whom he loved with an everlasting love. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now that, my friends, if you can get a grasp on an everlasting love, and then go over and see what the Apostle Paul said, for I am persuaded. Paul was persuaded of something, and the more you learn about God through Jesus Christ, you will be persuaded of the same thing. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, whoever it is that He loves, whoever that is, my friends, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature, and that includes the devil. The devil was created, that's right. If he's not a created being, we're in trouble. Nor any other creature. My wife was at the hospital with some of our church members that had family in the hospital. She began to talk to their pastor, the person that's in the hospital. They got to discussing about God loving everybody. She said, well, you know, the Bible says that nothing separates from the love of God. The preacher said, well, we can separate ourselves. She said, no, wait a minute, we're creatures too. You see, if we can separate ourselves, we're in the category of creatures. I just read in your hearing that all things that are made, God created them. And when we examine the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what one of the disciples asked the Lord one time, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Well, that's not true. Man's never sufficed. They wouldn't have been sufficed. It's already been read in your hearing that no man can look upon the face of God and live. But they said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. He says, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you have not known me? Ye that have seen me, you've seen the Father. What I want us to see is There is no separation in the Son and the Father. The Son declares His Father. That's what He came for. It's declared. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten that is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now I know something about the Father. I know something about His compassion, His love, His eternal, everlasting love. I know something about His of His kindness. I know something about His power. I know something about His commandments and His laws. My friends, we have it as if God has reconciled Himself to the world. Did you know that? It seems that we have it where God has reconciled Himself to the world. That's not what He says. God has reconciled the world to Himself. God did not reconcile Himself to the world. God is not going to be flexible. He's not going to say, all right, just forget it from now on, but you know better next time. No, my friends, when you understand the commandments of God, and this, maybe I'll include this. I didn't know what this might be the subject. But does this ever give you any problem? I'm going to turn to the 14th chapter of the book of John. 14th chapter of the book of John. Has this ever given you any problem? I'll confess it has me. I guess it'd help if I get in John, still Luke. Sorry. Fourteenth chapter of the book of John. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord. Well, let me back up a few verses because it's too beautiful. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Judith saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Thought that was a good question. Lord, how are you going to do this? Jesus answers and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, plural, this is one of the strongest verses I can find that teaches the Trinity. We will come and manifest ourselves unto him. If a man love me, he will keep my words. That ever give you a problem? I'm thinking, Lord, I haven't kept your words. I failed yesterday. I failed the day before yesterday. I failed today. Every night when I lay my head up on my pillow, the first thing I have to do in reverential approaching the throne of grace, beg God to forgive me for the sins that I committed that day. I try to do it in a reverential way and pray to God. And then I try to pray myself to sleep. They used to bother me, but I can't think of a more peaceful way to go to sleep than to communicate with the Lord. But be that as it may, this is giving me problems. He that loveth me keepeth my words. Well, my friends, there's a love, and then there's a love manifest. And I think that's what he's talking about here. A person that's manifesting his love to God keeps his commandments. He realizes he's going to stumble. He realizes he's going to fall. He realizes he's going to make mistakes. But he's going to manifest his love toward God in the very best of his ability. Because once you understand who God is, once you understand his unspeakable love for you, then it's your heart's desire to love him and manifest your love toward him. And yes, absolutely, you're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. God understands that. He remembers that we are but dust. But he's talking about a manifest love here. What I'm trying to show you in the poor way that I only way I know how is get an understanding of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and in your love toward Him, He's declared in every way those of His children who have been brought to understanding, brought to knowledge, brought to revelation. How do we understand the Lord? You think there is a school here that could teach us to know the Lord? I mean, know the Lord. You can be taught to know of the Lord. You can be taught an intellectual understanding to know God. This is being taught all the time. To know God. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. If you know anything about God, it wasn't because you learned it on your own. It wasn't because you searched it out, figured it out, found it out. Because it is unsearchable. That's what Paul says he was called out to do, is to preach the unsearchable, unsearchable. That means you cannot find it out. You can't search it out, my friends. But God hath made known unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? We don't know the mind of the Lord, only what He reveals to us. And if we know anything about God, it's because He revealed it unto us. But can any of us get up here and boast saying, I figured this all out. I've got this understood, I've studied this out, and I've got it all figured out. My friends, to know God is because He's revealed Himself unto you. But in what way has He revealed Himself to you? Does it go beyond just a Creator? Do you approach Him as... And honorably and respectfully and reverentially call Him Father? Do you understand that all that you have and all that you see and all that is, He created? My friends, when I was about the size of these young ladies here, most of you know my father. He was a strong individual. There wasn't a booger that come around the house that I was afraid of as long as my dad was close. Because I wasn't afraid of anything as long as dad was there. I just knew that my dad could take care of anything, no matter how big and bad it was. As long as my dad, the security that I felt when my earthly father was present, I can't express. I wasn't afraid of anything. I thought my father could beat up anybody's father. It didn't matter who it was. I'd even go to this boy. My daddy could beat your daddy up. Well, that's foolishness, of course. That's childishness, like all children are. But my friends, we have a Father in heaven today that is far more powerful than we can ever express. He has more might, more power than we can even explain. Words cannot describe Him. He cannot be described in man's language. And I'm going to throw this out to you. I hesitated to start with. I'm going to throw this out to you. Do you believe the Son of God was handicapped? Now, I want you to think about this. Do you believe the Son of God was handicapped? Do you ever feel handicapped? You preachers, do you ever feel handicapped when you try to describe God Almighty? When you try to put it in words, Brother David said yesterday, when you try to break it down and in language try to describe God, you realize how limited we are with the language of mankind. And then when you go to the rest of you, when you go to the throne of grace and try to pray to God, and you try to describe to God how you feel, and you just can't do it. You can't find the words that describes what you feel. Aren't you glad that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered? Aren't you glad that though you might not be able to put it in words, that you know God, something about God and what He has revealed to you? Aren't you glad that you understand something about what God has revealed to you, of who He is, what kind of a God He is, what a wonderful thing. But don't think you can describe Him with man's language. And that's why we groan in the Spirit, and the Spirit maketh intercession. Jesus groaned in spirit. I've many times in my own mind, I've went to the grave there of Lazarus. He saw the weeping there. He wasn't weeping. Jesus, and it plainly states, Jesus wept. Jesus wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead. I have all ideas that the weeping was because that he would that his brethren had the comfort that he had in knowledge that couldn't be put in words. In that manner, you see, to describe his father, man's language to describe our Father, man's language is so limited. But that day is coming, my friends. When we, Brother Cleveland has told us, that day is coming and it's appearing. And He's going to declare again His might and His power. And He's going to declare again in resurrecting these bodies, these vile bodies, these bodies of humiliation. He's going to raise these vile bodies and He's going to fashion them like unto His glorious body. My friends, He's going to declare His power again. And every eye shall see Him. And every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow that He is God the Father to the glory of His name. That, my friends, even though my earthly father I realize is quite limited, He's not limited. He is my Father, and He's not limited. I'm not afraid of anything, of any of these false doctrines, either, once you learn who God is. Once you understand that, my friends, He has no competition. He has absolutely no competition. Now, He has revealed Himself. He does reveal Himself and will continue to reveal Himself or declare Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath declared Him. It would take a lot of time. In fact, however young you are, and you stand under the sound of the gospel as long as you live, if you live to be 100 years old, you will hear just a portion of the declaration of God through Jesus Christ. Just a portion of it. All of your life. There's no need to think we can declare it in an hour or 30 minutes or however long we have. In the person of Jesus Christ, we see the declaration of the Godhead. You need not think He is a silver or gold graven by art of man's devices. The time of the signet of God's winked at. He closed His eyes to. He suffered it. He suffered through their abominations and their unbelievable disbelief. He suffered through that. But now we have a revelation. And even in the beginning of the church, hear me close now, in the beginning of the church, you and I have a greater revelation than our forefathers had even in the beginning of the church. I'm not talking about the apostles, but I'm telling you, my friends, God has revealed to His ministers and revealed to us through the gospel things that mankind has needed as time has gone on. And we have things revealed to us through the ministry or through the gospel that our forefathers didn't need. We have it today. And God will continue to reveal as we need it until such time as He's finished with this world. And our fear and our anxiety can all be put to rest if you'll just get the right concept of God. Look at His declaration. Look at this declaration. If you love the Lord, you have faith. Look at His declaration in the natural creation. And you understand how it all came about. Because God gives you understanding. But my friends, look at His declaration in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see a God that He has all power. I see a God that back to the illustration. We was at my aunt. Some of you probably heard me tell this before. But by the time we was at my aunt and uncle's house, it was out on the farm. They had a peacock. You ever heard a peacock scream? It sounded just like somebody hurt. Well, my dad heard this peacock and he thought it was one of his kids. And he liked to tore the door off the house trying to get out to see what happened to one of his children. I would have hated to got in his way if something was happening to one of his children. Well, my friends, God Almighty, there is no description of His love that He has for His people. And there's no description, there's no putting into words the power of His might. There'll absolutely nothing come between Him and His children. We have the understanding that it will, of necessity, take eternity to praise Him for who He is. May God give us the grace to praise Him while we live here. There's no description of His might, His power, His goodness, and His kindness toward us. May God help us to do that. I appreciate your kind attention.